Coming up on KUCB News, why Raven wanted to acquire Penn Air and the state has stopped selling ferry tickets past September. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Tuesday, February 26, 2019. In 2018, Raven Air Group purchased Penn Air, the carrier that's long served as the primary connection between Anchorage and the Aleutian-Pribilof region. The sale came a year after Penn Air filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. For months following the buyout, Raven Alaska declined and did not respond to interview requests. But this month, KUCB finally spoke with Raven's chief commercial officer, Derek Shanks, to learn why the regional carrier wants to expand in Southwest.
Well, I think the most important thing was we wanted to ensure that Alaska had a strong regional airline. The strength of Penn Air is obviously down in the Aleutians and out to Southwest of the Bristol Bay area. So it had a very good synergy with us from a route perspective.
And so going back a little bit to the purchase of Penn Air, what does that mean for workers in Anchorage or workers locally on Alaska?
I mean, we're now employing over 1,000 employees up here in Alaska, with over 80%, I think it's actually 85%, are all local Alaskans, so which is absolutely important. And we've managed to maintain the majority of jobs at Penn Air. But the most important thing moving forward is that, as I mentioned earlier, is that we are now a stronger regional carrier. And by doing that, that offers more opportunities for growth within the Raven Air Group, but also a little bit more stability being a larger regional carrier.
Are you saying that at some point everything's going to change over to Raven branding and we're going to have to say goodbye to the Penn Air brand?
Well, eventually we will have to look at if we're going to merge the two airlines into one and one operating certificate, which all the major airlines have done. I mean, American's done that with U.S. Airways, United, etc. So that's common in terms of putting it onto one certificate, because that's when you get the benefits from the synergies of the two airlines. But that's at least 12 to 18 months away. Eventually, we will. I mean, we'll be one airline, and we'll either use one of the existing names, or we could have well come up with a new one.
Switching gears a little bit, what aircraft are flying to Unalaska right now, and how many does Raven / Penn Air own?
Right, it's still going to be the Saab 2000, and we are going to have 5 of those in the fleet.
Since the Saab 2000s have been put in use by Penn Air, there seems to have been a lot of trouble with them, be it maintenance or engine failures and just like general reliability. It seems like anytime people are going through and trying to fly out, there's always mechanical delays and mechanical cancellations. What does Raven plan to do about that?
We've looked at the statistics that we had to compare year on year, and there is no difference. What has happened recently, though, both on Penn Air and Raven, is that we've had some really bad weather, and there have been weather cancellations. And one of the advantages we've now got, and in fact we've just done this down in Cold Bay and Sand Point, we've also done it in Dillingham and King Salmon, is when we haven't had one of the aircraft available, whether it's on Penn Air or Raven, we're substituting within the group. So the real benefit of the Raven Air Group now is when there are weather conditions or mechanical conditions where we've had to cancel flights, we are substituting flights either with a Raven flight or with a Penn Air flight to ensure that we are servicing those communities. But on a comparison to last year, there really hasn't been that much difference.
And is that something, those substitutions, is that something that could happen for a place like Unalaska too?
No, on Alaska, no. We will only be flying to Dutch Harbor with the Saab 2000. But what it does allow us to do is, if that does come up, we might pull off the Saab 2000 from the flight and substitute it with a Dash 8 on Raven, Alaska. So from an operational perspective, that's going to make us far more efficient and allow us to take advantage of the peak season. We'll put the 45-seater on where we know there's big demand, and then when there's less demand, we'll put on the smaller Dash 8 with either the 37 or the 29-seat. So the overall performance of the airline will improve. That will make us ensure that we are profitable and continue to be so.
And why can't you fly the Dash 8 to Unalaska?
Well, that's not our route. That is an Alaska Airlines route. So we are not flying to Dutch Harbor on a scheduled basis.
And I guess I'm curious, are there going to be changes to the flights to the Pribilof Islands and Unalaska's flight schedule and the cost of flights?
As far as the cost is concerned, we continue within the Raven Air Group to ensure that we're providing our customers with the best value flights that we possibly can. We did that when we started to fly into King Salman and Dillingham last year, and also to our shorter routes, Kenai, Homer, Valdez. We've introduced lower fares wherever we can, and we also have our weekly Raven deals. We introduced the new Pen Air deals as well, which will be going out every week. So we'll be offering our best value fares through that, and all you need to do is sign up on penair.com or flyraven.com. And as far as the flight to St. Paul, yes, there will be some changes there. We have for some time now been looking to get our aircraft on Raven, Alaska, the Dash 8, certified for overwater flying. So we are currently doing that, and we are looking to put the Dash 8 on the flight to St. Paul as soon as that certification is complete. And we will be flying out to St. Paul three times a week.
Why did flights start departing from the A gates in Ted Stevens? Like, what happened to the L1 gates? And will Raven or Pen Air flights ever return to L1?
One of the key areas was to get the airport team together as soon as possible. We had the space at the A gates, so we moved those departures down there. It's far more efficient for the airline and for the customers. And we don't know whether we will ever return to the L gates. At the moment, we have no plan.
That was Raven Alaska's Derek Shank speaking with KUCB about the company's purchase of Pen Air. In other transportation news, the Alaska Marine Highway System has stopped selling tickets past September. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, that's in response to the governor's proposed budget that would effectively shut down service later this year.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's official biography describes him as arriving in Alaska in 1983, looking for opportunity. His first stop was Ketchikan, the center of Southeast Alaska's logging industry. Flash forward 35 years later, he's back in town as a candidate for governor and asked about his views on the state's ferry system.
I mean, it's obvious, right? I came up on a ferry from Seattle. Yeah, I didn't drive here. You can't drive here.
That's from an interview with KRBD's Layla Carey last April. He told Ketchikan's public radio station he was exploring how the ferry system could be run more efficiently without cutting services.
I don't envision at any time that there would not be a functional, robust ferry service in the southeast, the panhandle of Alaska.
But his administration is proposing a $96 million cut that would effectively shut down the system. Go online and try to book a ticket after September. It's not happening. Ferries spokeswoman Orlando said the booking system reflects the administration's proposal.
Right now, the Marine Highway System is not accepting reservations past September and does not have any vessels scheduled for October onwards.
That has some people scrambling. The southeast community of Angoon has no airport or barge service. Mayor Joshua Bowen said Angoon's passengers and goods come in either by a twice-weekly ferry or by float plane.
If the ferry gets cut on October 1st and we have to go through the winter without any ferry, it's gonna be major. You know, everyone in Angoon relies on that ferry.
The Dunleavy administration is trying to close a $1.6 billion budget gap without raising taxes on people or industry or reducing Alaskans' annual permanent dividend checks. That's meant deep cuts now before lawmakers. The administration proposes bringing in a consultant to look at privatization 2 months before the service shuts down. That's been met with some skepticism. Here's Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha Von Imhoff.
Why the rush? Why are we just cutting several tens of millions of dollars in 1 year, a short period of time, versus over a course of a couple years, particularly to allow this consultant to finish his or her work? Why are we just game over as of the end of October?
The state's Office of Management and Budget points to declining revenue from passengers. Fewer people ride the ferry, and that means less income. The state wants to spend $96 million earmarked for the ferry elsewhere. But other Republican lawmakers express concern about humanitarian effects of ceasing service so abruptly. Here's Wasilla Republican Mike Schauer, a former Air Force pilot, quizzing budget officials.
If you shut down the ferry operations, you are potentially, I hate to say it, but you're potentially strangling those communities because they may not make it through the winter without that if the airports can't support them. And my guess is they can't.
Separately, there's been an ongoing effort to reform the state marine highway system as a public corporation. But even that alternative would still require sustained support from the legislature to operate the fleet. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
At the same time the Dunleavy administration is proposing to end ferry service, it's also going to be looking into selling or closing state-owned airports. A February 12th memo from the governor directs the Department of Transportation to investigate options for reducing the number of public airports owned by the state to cut costs for the state government. Dunleavy is asking for a report by June 1st with options for selling, transferring, closing, or leasing airports along with the cost savings these changes could mean. There are over 700 airports in Alaska, and 239 are owned and operated by the state, including many in Southeast. Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin says she's looking into what this proposal would mean for Unalaska's airport. While the city of Unalaska owns the terminal building, the state owns the land it sits on and the runway. The Unalaska City Council is not meeting tonight. The regularly scheduled session has been canceled as councilors are traveling to Anchorage for a meeting of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. The City Council will hold its next meeting March 12th. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast. We'll be right back.